Before we start today's show, I had a tough mental health day yesterday, which ended up inspiring me to write the following column, available in full to the public at patreon.com/RossBolin podcast. I woke up this morning completely defeated, opened my eyes and immediately felt darkness consume me. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to move. My thoughts were dominated by negativity and anxiety. A heavy blanket of depression was weighing me down. I legitimately considered canceling everything I had scheduled today and just succumbing to whatever the fuck that darkness felt like bringing on. This has become more and more commonplace for me over the last year or so. Prior to entering my 30s, I had never experienced depression before. I was familiar with it. I'd spoken to several people who struggle with it on this very podcast, but had never experienced it myself. And like so many of the best and worst things in life, depression is a force you can't fully comprehend until you experience it firsthand. Nobody can explain to you fully how good sex feels. You have to fuck. Similarly, nobody can communicate the crushing nature of depression through words alone. Everybody's experience with depression, just like sex, is different. And I mean, the complex nature of our most powerful human emotions, bad or good, and our own individual perception and handling of those emotions is what makes being human so special, right? So eventually, I got myself out of bed because I had a lunch scheduled with somebody I was only recently introduced to and I didn't want to be rude. I had tears streaming down my face while I was brushing my teeth, but eventually, those tears dried up. I felt that deep-seated pain in my heart for like the first couple hours of the day, but eventually it faded. And now, as I was writing this, the workday is winding down. I've written a column, had a two-hour lunch with a badass new friend who was genuinely spurring growth in my life, worked out my schedule for the rest of the week, replied to roughly 100 emails, played basketball for a half hour to get my blood pumping, and I'm about to go for a run before the sun goes down, which, for the record, I fucking did. Depression is like waking up every day down 3-1 in the NBA Finals. And all you can do is find a way to win that next game, win the day, then win the next day, then the next. And obviously in life, unlike in fucking basketball, this shit does not stop. There is no offseason. There is no Larry O'Brien championship trophy. No cameras waiting in the bathroom to interview you after you hit the showers. No fans in the rafters. No millions of viewers on TV. It is just you. It's just me. I won today. Do I win every day? No. Admittedly, there are days when I don't fight hard enough. There are still days when I let the darkness consume me and I fail to overcome. But those days are fewer and farther between as I open myself up to new things, as I continue to gain perspective from new people and remind myself repeatedly that I will get stronger. I know that if I want it bad enough, and I work hard enough, I will find peace again. And that is enough to motivate me. That is enough to keep me going. Today it worked. Yesterday it worked. The darkness I wake up with some days, that weight of defeat, that it almost always feels like it will last forever when it's at its worst. Yet it never does. And here I am. Life is a beautiful gift filled with all manner of twists and turns you can't possibly even attempt to make sense of in real time. But as those seconds turn into minutes, into hours, into days, into weeks, into months, if you maintain the desire to survive and thrive, and you desperately strive to keep a positive mindset and constantly search for wisdom, each and every single one of those twists and turns will begin to make sense in time. Every single moment of great pain and suffering in my life has eventually bred growth and joy if I have allowed it to. Every single heartbreak, period of great confusion or anxiety or depression, every lonely night, each dark thought and feeling, they have all added up to the man that I am today. Every obstacle is part of the journey. The new friend I had lunch with, by the way, a fucking warrior. Like the kind of person who has endured challenges that make me feel silly for even considering my challenges challenging until I remember we all have our own journey. And as part of the human experience, we all suffer. We all face challenges. And for each of us, those challenges present themselves in different ways, each with a different path to either growth or destruction. And only we, individually, can decide which path to take. Ross Bowman Podcast. You better listen. Welcome to episode 270 of the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP270, presented by Bolin Media. I am your host, Ross Bolin, joined today by semi-regular producer and second-time co-host here on RBP, Miss Mariah Gossett. Mariah.
Hi.
We're going back-to-back, you and me.
I know. Two times in a row.
We're really doing it. Are you excited?
I am. I mean, we talked about sweaty pits last time.
We did.
So what else can we get into?
I'm going to step up the selection of topics for you to discuss.
Perfect.
Today. It's going to be slightly better than last show. That's all I can promise, though.
All right.
Slight improvement.
I'm ready.
All right. J-Bone, Jared Borslow, one of our other co-hosts here, he got himself a new puppy.
Oh.
So he's living the new puppy dad life this week and taking a week off from recording with us. So hopefully he'll be back next week. He might look very, very sleepy if I had to guess. AJ is also on his 9-to-5 grind. We're going to be mixing in some new voices here, folks. It's going to be fun shit.
Hanging out.
Today we got Mariah.
Woo.
Good stuff. Woo. RBP 270 is brought to you by Lisa, makers of the most comfortable mattresses in the entire world. Your mattress, the most important purchase you're going to make for your home, right in front of your like living room TV, right? And whether you have a shitty like studio apartment or you're living in a big ass house with 4 bedrooms and 2 kids running around or some shit, it doesn't matter. Having a fantastic bed for your body and mind to rest every night is paramount. Lisa knows how important rest is to a better life. Lisa is the foundation of a healthier, happier you. And to Lisa, a bed is more than just a place to sleep. It's a place for relaxation and rest. All of their products at Lisa have been thoughtfully designed to go beyond creating a comfortable bed to transform your bedroom into a sanctuary that you actually want to spend time in. Their most advanced luxury hybrid mattress is made with premium foams and springs for enhanced pressure relief with edge-to-edge support. The hybrid is the bed I've slept on for a few years now. It's the most comfortable bed I've ever laid eyes or body on. I brag about it constantly to everyone I meet. I've spoken about it on this show roughly 1 billion times. It is phenomenal. I could not more highly recommend the hybrid by Lisa. It's just the most comfortable bed I've ever slept on, point blank. That's it. It's not that big of a selling thing. It's like, it just is the best. Also, Lisa believes all people should have access to deep rest and relaxation, and as such, they make it easy for their customers to know they've made the right choice through social impact initiatives tied to each purchase, like they donate 1 mattress for every 10 they sell through organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention. And to date, they've donated more than 33,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits. Lisa mattresses are made in the USA. In-home delivery and setup is available. Financing is also available. Do not miss out, RBP gang. Live healthier. Live happier. By resting deeper. Order today, get 15% off any mattress for a limited time at lisa.com/RBP. Use the promo code RBP. That's LEESA.com/RBP. Promo code RBP. Keep in mind, you also get a 100-night risk-free trial plus free shipping and returns. Some announcements and shouts. They're very limited in nature. Big happy birthday to Rachel0704, which is not like some kind of robot I met.
Yeah, I was like, isn't that your other show?
Yeah, no, this is it was a girl on Twitch who supports the stream and has been awesome, twitch.tv/bossroland. So happy birthday, Rachel. Have a great one. By the way, Rachel Ross 2020 tour continues. Huge for Rosses and Rachels all around the world.
They're doing a Friends reunion.
And they're doing the Friends reunion on HBO Max.
Yeah.
It's all coming together. It really is, full circle. Happy birthday to everyone in the RBP gang who has a birthday this week. If you want more RBP every month, ad-free, you can support the show on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. That's the place where that column I read to start the show today lives. And it's where everything I write is going to live. And I'm going to be writing more and more, hopefully, in the coming days and weeks. It's like it's very much one of the focuses for me the remainder of the year is to continue writing, not only because it's something that I think is it creates actually good content, but because it's extremely helpful to me and processing stuff in my life. And y'all seem to enjoy it. So I'm gonna be writing more on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. And you also get ad-free RBP. I'm going to be interviewing producer Mike is our special guest for the month of, what the fuck is it, February? About to be March. February's special guest on Patreon is producer Mike here at Permanent Record. I'm super excited to sit down and talk with him, I believe, tomorrow now. And that'll be available on Patreon later in the week. Again, everything on Patreon is ad-free. It's all about just getting a couple more episodes of RBP a month in exchange for supporting the show. Appreciate y'all. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Some amends and fact-checking. Intern Natalie provided me with the amends from RBP 269.
She's back.
She is back. Nice. First of all, Greg Robinson, the former NFL player, I should say, who was arrested with all that weed, he actually had a third party who was an Uber driver that he attempted to get the fall to take the fall for him. He texted dude and was like, listen, man, I need you to say this 200 pounds of weed is yours. And the guy was like,
no.
Fuck off. So yeah.
Yeah. He's the dude with all the lawyers. Why wouldn't you just like.
You got it. You're the rich guy.
You're the rich guy. Do it.
I'm not going to prison for 10 years for you, bro.
No.
Depends on the number, I guess. You know who Jay-Z is?
Yes.
Of course.
I'm aware.
Hova. You've heard of him. Sean Carter. Yeah, he has a situation with this dude he always talks about that's like his boy when they were coming up. And this dude got popped and went to prison and like didn't talk. His name's Emery Jones.
Does he just like pay all his bills now?
I think that's the, I'm not joking. Like, so for 10 years, you'd hear these mentions in Jay-Z songs, like basically being like, Emery, I got you when you get out. And like shouting him out and stuff. And it was just like always weird. I was like, who is this guy?
Interesting.
And then he got out and like, that's the play. This dude spent all that time in the can so that when he comes out, he could be like Jay-Z's right hand dude and live that life.
I mean,
it paid off for him.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I mean, I don't know. I would assume prison is not fun. But if you had to do it, that would be the way to like.
For money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
To come out and be rich. But that being said, I'm not doing time for Greg Robinson. I will do time for Hove.
Because you know the money is going to be good when you get out.
Exactly. Exactly. And in all fairness, I don't know that Emery did know that, but certainly this Uber driver was like, and no.
Yep.
No, thank you, sir. Another piece of information here from intern Natalie. 360,000 babies are born each day, according to the UN.
Gross. Sorry.
Isn't the first thing that popped into my head was like, fuck. It's just like a lot of bodily fluid being sprayed around the world to produce more humans.
So much.
Right? The aggressive nature of grasshopper mice extends beyond their hunting habits, apparently. When held in captivity with other mice, they will kill and eat them. Very nice.
Savage.
Dude, cannibalism is fucked. It's like rampant in the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
Stop eating each other.
Well, we're getting rid of all the other stuff they can eat. I guess they only have each other left.
That's not a bad argument. Eventually,
we're going to have to also...
We're going to turn that way,
just
right?
Eat each other. Yeah.
Look, I've seen the movies. I know what happens when we run out of food. All right? And I want everybody to pay very close attention to something. No meat on these bones, baby. You stay the fuck away from me and my calves. President Abraham Lincoln did not enjoy retirement. Richard Nixon did not enjoy impeachment. The population of China is 1.439 billion. I can't believe this is how we start every show. First segment... Cardi B takes on the modern pornography industry.
Someone's got to do it.
Okay, so this is important because it's not only we are bringing Cardi B back into the fold here. We haven't spoken about her really since all that news came out about her like drugging and robbing clients when she was a stripper, just because that makes me very uncomfortable. That being said, I don't know. I feel like if you go to a strip club, you're kind of volunteering yourself for like any of the bad shit that can happen to you as a human. Robbery, druggery, all of the things. Like strip clubs just in general, it seems more likely that type of activity is going to go down in a strip club than like, say, I don't know, a church, right? So you got to know.
I don't know. I would be very interested in the statistics of how much highway robbery goes on at a church versus a strip club.
That's actually...
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Mega churches exist.
Look, it's a different way of doing it. In the strip club, they don't pass around the plate. In church, they just pass around the plate. You put your money right into it. At the strip club, you throw it at
it's the same thing.
It's the same.
It's not. They're both vessels for your cash.
Strip club, more fun.
100%.
Throwing money at a person, fun. Putting it into a plate and watching it go down the aisle.
Not so fun.
Not so much fun. Not my fave.
No.
And I always feel bad because who the fuck carries cash? I mean this at a strip club or church.
Well, now they think, I think they've like really gone hard on the ATMs and the strip clubs, but also you can charge up a lot of stuff too.
True. Strip club, easy to get cash. But I'm sitting in the church aisle and the thing is coming, the plate.
You got to get out that checkbook like it's 1986.
My checks have like the address from three homes ago.
Yep.
You know, like what am I supposed to, anyway. To get to her point and to get to what this segment was supposed to be about, Cardi B got on Twitter yesterday, right? She's a very outspoken woman. She's not afraid to talk about anything in particular, it doesn't seem. So she says, I was scrolling down a porn site. Then I see a snippet of Frozen, parentheses, Elsa, in parentheses. Why the fuck they put that? Shit made me cringe. Turn me all the way off now. I'm here with you motherfuckers. Weirdo shit. Shit shouldn't be allowed. And for those of you who are unaware of what the fuck she's even talking about, just give me a minute, all right? Let me get through her tweets and then I'll explain. So her next tweet is, and why do porn titles be so weird, like, quote, teen fucking, end quote, stepmom, stepmom fucking, stepkid, like, what the fuck? That shit is fucking nasty and weird. Okay, here's the thing. Non-porno people, whoever you are.
Don't yuck anyone's yum, first of all.
I'm not yucking anybody's yum. No yucking. Just saying, porn has gotten to a place over the past 10 years, I'll say, where we seem to be losing our filter. Some. Now, they provide you with a filter on some of these porn sites, but those are kind of ineffective. The point is this. Or I guess it's this. Porn is becoming more accepting of all of the different like kinks and fetishes and shit that people want to see.
Right.
Now, what we found out over the past couple years is it turns out a lot of y'all are weirdly into stepsister and mother and step fucking, right? Which is, frankly, I don't really get that. I don't have a stepmom or a stepsister or any steps to fuck, so I've never like considered it, but it's weird. It's like 90% of the porn on the mainstream porn sites now. Not like, haha, 90%. No, like seriously, it's like 90 fucking percent. It's every other goddamn video. And to Cardi's point, the titles of these videos, we got to do better. Whoever is in charge of titling the porn videos on like UJizz and Pornhub, fire yourself. You're the worst ever. We're trying to get a nut here, bro. Do you fucking mind? Why does every title you write need to be like, I don't want to feel bad about myself the whole time I'm on the porn site.
Yeah, you
cannot go to a porn site now and just read through titles.
Well, I think, so for me, first of all, if you're going to Pornhub, pay for your porn.
So you're saying if it's free porn, you don't get to complain.
You do not get to complain.
Okay.
If you are paying for your porn, I 100% think you can complain about titles. But the other thing is if you're paying for your porn, the titles are going to be better and the content is going to be better. Ethical porn is the way to go. If you can pay for
ethical
Netflix.
Ethical porn is the way you're putting it.
Yes.
Oh, why is that?
Because you're paying for it, which means the person performing is also getting paid a living wage to do it.
Oh, it's a lot more likely that they are
right.
than if you were just straight up on the site.
And most of the stuff that's on like Pornhub has all been stolen.
Ripped. Right.
Ripped from paid porn sites. And so you know those like dumb FBI things that used to come up on the screen being don't steal this movie. They need those for porn.
Yeah, they really do. It's just like a weird industry though because it's like all the mainstream sites basically, look, I'm not like psycho porn guy. I don't watch a ton of porn. Probably like a reasonable amount for a single dude, I guess. But it's like, it's such a weird feel. Like everything in there is all the new stuff that you're speaking to that's getting ripped. And it's like, and then there's the Frozen shit mixed in, which I don't get the cartoon stuff either. I don't know why anybody needs to see Lois Griffin get pounded out by Peter or Brian for that matter. What the fuck? Why? I don't understand. But I don't know, there's shit that I want to see that I'll find in that fucking pile of weirdness, but it's just, it's gotten strange. So we have all the new stuff like getting ripped from the paid sites and put on. That stuff gets taken down pretty quickly. So then they're just like rotating through the plethora of stepmom and child porn that they have, I guess, and then mixing in like the frozen shit and then old stuff. I don't know. It's just, but I feel her on this, man. It's a serious problem. The organization, categorization, and titles, and just the way these, like, the few biggest public free porn sites, correct, which I still think are most people, I don't think, are willing to pay for porn in 2020. Because it's, remember the 90s? People paid for this shit.
I know.
And then it came out on the internet, and everybody was like, why the fuck would I ever pay for porn ever again? But then we've hit this spot where what you brought up, especially the ethical nature of it, has become a bigger and bigger issue. One of the people that we've had on this show multiple times, a friend of mine, Mia Khalifa, experienced what can happen when you jump feet first into the porn industry and don't have your shit straight. Like, she's not getting any of that money.
Right.
You know? Somebody is.
And so if you're going to, I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to scroll the free porn sites, don't complain about the titles. The other thing with the variety, I think it's actually a good thing because it's an outlet, a safe outlet for people to explore kinks
that
is consensual on all bases, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny. It's like, I don't know why this has happened more and more recently where kinks and fetishes keep coming up. And we've talked a lot about furries. We've talked a lot
I'm going to get you a fetish person to come in here and talk to you one day.
I'd be totally down. I'm serious.
Okay.
We've talked about furries. We've talked about feet a lot. Neither, just for the record, neither of those is like my fetish. Like, I'm not a furry. And it's not that there's anything wrong with being a furry. I'm down to put on the Care Bear costume for the right amount of either money or, like, the person that's in the other Care Bear costume is hot enough, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put on this Care Bear costume for the sake of getting it in here. But it's not my thing. I don't, like, judge people. It's, like, become a thing where more and more and more and more and more I'm seeing situations with fetishes and like, kinks play out in real life.
Right. Well, there are some people who they're kink or fetish actually is a large portion of their life. They live that day to day. Other times it is different portions of their life. So if you're in like a sub-dom situation, it could be more of like that happens all day for you and that's
right.
What you want.
That's how you roll. Like that's your operating fucking system basically.
Right. Or if you're a fin, you know, if you're getting paid by like someone who wants to be fin-dom, it's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. No, it's crazy as hell out there.
And we're going to talk about all the time if I'm on here, Ross, because
I know
almost all the other shows I produce are about
that's your thing. That's your thing. No, that's why, like, I honestly, I was coming up with this segment and I was like, this is just like one of those things I love talking about because it comes up a lot and you are a like sex pro person. So you know a lot about this stuff and yeah. I thought you'd have some good perspective. So
I work within the sex positive community.
Sex positive community. That's
correct.
What it's called.
Yeah.
Not sex pros.
So, I mean, some of them are professionals.
Yeah, I guess that works too. Yeah. But, anyway. So here's the thing. Here's the main takeaway for if you're like me or Cardi B and you're like a casual pornography consumer. I agree. We can't be complaining about shit that's free or like go to another site or find one that you like that you can pay for. I don't know. Like this isn't a problem that I had solved yet. Part of the reason we're doing the segment, because I was starting to get annoyed by this shit. Like, just because it can be fucking distracting. I'm trying to watch like my porn, the porn I'm into.
The pop-up ads and the stuff on the sides get me.
It's chaos. It's chaos. And then they're mixing in other genres into my genres where I'm not expected to see the stuff I'm seeing. Like, I don't need to see Elsa getting a load unloaded on her. That's not what I needed today. It certainly wasn't what Cardi needed.
She didn't want it.
She's okay, because I get it. She's watching Frozen with her kids and shit, and then
right.
She's trying to go watch porn, and Elsa's getting creamed. It's like, we just can't have this. Cardi, you got to pay for your own porn. Or it's also interesting to me that like the most famous, rich, beautiful people in the world all watch porn too. Like, everybody watches porn.
Yes.
Y'all don't have to be ashamed about watching porn or touching yourself. It's 20 fucking 20. Grow the fuck up. Next segment. Animal of the Week!
And now, Ross Boland's Animal of the Week.
Ah! All right. Animal of the week this week is the satanic leaf-tailed gecko. It's really...
I didn't know animals had religious sex or involved in religion at all.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. This is weird. Lucifer in lizard form. The satanic leaf-tailed gecko, though, by the way, you know the drill, pull up Google Images and check out this thing while I talk about it. Also may be known as the eyelash leaf-tailed gecko. I think we could just go ahead and cross that one out.
It's not as badass.
Or the fantastic leaf-tailed gecko, PH. I like that.
That's pretty cool.
That one can stay. The other one, X that out. This thing is baller because it looks exactly like a dead leaf. And its tail specifically, but then also its body. It's like one of the coolest camouflage lizards in the world. And it's only found in Madagascar, found nowhere else. It has like super specific requirements to survival and its breed. And for whatever reason, that plays in Madagascar. They're like 2.5 to 6 inches long. The scientific name of the species, Fantasticus, is Latin for imaginary, which is tight. They're arboreal, which means they spend all their time in trees. We've run into a lot of these lizards and birds over the years, over the episodes, that don't bounce from trees, ever. There's also some squirrels in this category. Arboreal species, they're called, and reptiles. They're also nocturnal. They spend their nights hunting for insects. They mostly crush crickets and moths, which I'm for both of those being crushed by something. I wish they would mix in the... what are those things? Mosquito eaters? You get those in your house or apartment?
Those really big, like, they look like giant mosquitoes, but they're not.
They're literally like mosquito hunters. Those things go around and kill mosquitoes, but they're too big. They've got all these legs and shit, yeah. And they're too visible on my walls.
I feel like they're in every campground bathroom I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, and I don't want to... Why have you been to so many campground bathrooms?
I like to camp.
Oh, you camp a lot for real?
I mean, I haven't in a while, but I like to camp, yeah.
This is like one of those things I want to do at some point this year is go camping outside in a fucking tent.
Yeah.
Not a hotel, in a tent.
I did it last year in July. It was hot. I hated how hot it was, but it was fun.
Did you poo in the woods?
No, there's bathrooms.
Have you ever pooed in the woods?
Yes.
It's very uncomfortable.
I don't like it.
Not a fan. Why? Wood shitters. Never understood them. what was I talking about? Oh, this fucking
lizard.
This thing. Yeah, it crushes crickets and moths. It's some of the males have a notch in their tail that like further gives the illusion that it's a decaying leaf. I don't know how anything has ever eaten one of these other than by accident. It seems like they'd be more often crunched up by like herbivores looking to eat leaves by accident. They don't have eyelids. Their eyes are fucking crazy creepy. They actually use them in some ways to get predators away and scare them away. They have a transparent covering on their eyes and they use their tongues to lick away any debris or dirt that gets up in there.
Ugh. Blah, blah, blah.
What if that was your responsibility to clean your own eyeball with your tongue?
I hate it. I don't like when things touch my eyeballs. I can't wear contacts because of it.
Oh, you're one of those?
Can't deal with it. Oh. I think it's because I saw like, what the fuck was it called? Clockwork Orange,
yes.
Very young.
Yes.
When he holds
his eyes open.
Can't deal with it.
The one that messed with me is an Ace Ventura.
Oh,
even it's the
like
second one, When Nature Calls.
The eye.
When he's like, he no. does it for like 5 minutes.
Too long.
It's incredible. And the dude fucking flips out. I think it's from Nature Calls. I think it's the second one, if I'm not mistaken.
But yeah.
Oh, good shit, though. Yeah.
It's a no-go for me.
No.
Not touching my eyeballs.
Not with my tongue.
Absolutely not.
I've had a person lick my eyeball.
I feel like everyone did in some point in like middle school.
Mm-hmm.
There was that kid who would like lick people's eyeballs.
What? Yeah. Something about high school, late middle school, early high school,
yes.
Where we were like, we got to lick each other's eye. I don't know why, but we got to lick each other's eyeballs. Just to see, we all have to do it to see what it's like. This is the period.
I think it's mostly kids though who grew up with like, who did not have the cultural feature of eating eyeballs.
Who does?
I mean, a lot of people around the world eat eyeballs. My
really?
My family is Greek,
okay.
On my mom's side.
And eyeballs are like a food thing?
And then like my dad will eat straight up fish eyeballs all the time.
No shit.
Yeah.
Huh.
Eating whole animals.
I dissected an eyeball.
I did that too.
In biology.
Yeah,
I think
it was
cow eye.
Probably. That sounds familiar.
It's pretty gnarly.
But yeah, I think if you were that kid, you didn't have to eat eyeballs because then you know immediately that it's not something you really want to do.
These dudes lay eggs. They're oviparous, I think is the word. I can't fucking read. I can't read. Did y'all know that? But they lay eggs, which just the idea of this lizard when you're looking at it, laying an egg is kind of, it's like cartoonish almost. They have a very unique appearance, obviously, so a lot of people get these for pets, and it's a problem. Unfortunately, it's a big bummer. Everybody's trying to get these fucking lizards out of their habitat so they can put them in little crates in their living room or whatever. I had a frog at one point. Okay, look, we don't need to have a bunch of reptiles as pets. I get it if you're like a snake person or whatever and you want to go this route, fine. I'm not trying to hate, but I am. I'm saying you don't get to do much with that. And it would probably be fine out in the forest where it's supposed to be.
Also, if it only lives in Madagascar, why are you taking it so far from home?
That's fucked. Yeah, you leave the... In it. Look, if it's like a fucking tree frog and there's a billion of them, you're good. Put it in a cage. Whatever. Fine. Name it Houdini. Let it escape a few times until eventually one day your parents tell you that it escaped from the house. But in all likelihood,
they
your mom...
it in the
or
backyard.
Dad, yeah, or it stepped on it or like the dog ate it or something. But I had a frog. Look, I get the appeal. I'm just saying, maybe we rethink this, especially... If it looks like a dead leaf and there's only like 1,000 of them left and they're in Madagascar, just don't buy it as a fucking pet. Just don't. It's on the WWF's endangered top 10 most wanted species list of animals threatened by illegal wildlife trade. Top 10.
Dang.
This lizard being captured and sold at alarming rates for the international pet trade. You forget that's even a fucking thing. You're telling me there's a guy that wakes up every day and he's like, time to find these animals to smuggle internationally to the people who need them.
I mean, rich people buy weird shit.
And poor people will find ways to sell that shit to rich people to get money.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, that's your animal of the week, the satanic leaf-tailed gecko.
You'd think the name would deter some people from wanting it, being like, oh, it's Satan's lizard.
Maybe it's like mad Satanists buying up these lizards.
Oh.
Yeah. Just straight up like worshiping Lucifer and dancing around with these lizards. Putting one on each shoulder.
I mean, that sounds kind of fun.
Does
so I don't know.
Kind of tight. Like something I'd get down with Keith from the Righteous Gemstones.
Yes.
Shouts to Tony Cavallaro. I don't know when that dude's going to be in here, but at some point it's going to be weird. I can almost guarantee that he like makes me take my shirt off or something strange. If you don't know who I'm talking about, I'm sorry. Moving on. RBP270 is also brought to you by Felix Gray. I constantly have my face in a screen, literally from morning to night, every waking hour, every waking second. It's fucked up. I'm one of those like 10-hour screen time people. There is no cutting back. It's not an option. I'm on my computer for work. I'm on my phone for work. I'm watching TV for entertainment. I'm playing video games on my computer. And too much screen time obviously results in tired eyes, dry eyes, headaches, blurry vision, trouble sleeping. And that's very much a thing for me. By the end of the day, you know, I've worn contacts since I was like 12 years old. And my eyes get tired. And I'm staring at screens on top of that. And when I take out those contacts and throw on my Felix Gray blue light glasses at the end of the day, my God, it is legitimately instantaneous relief. All of these symptoms that I just described to you, the headaches, the dry eyes, the blurry vision, the second the contacts come out, the Felix Grays go on, boom, it's over, baby. You got to get you some of these. I mean, if you don't have contacts, if you're not as unfortunate as I am to be like close to legally blind, they're still incredible. They have non-prescription, prescription. They launched in 2016 with the singular focus of offering the most effective computer glasses on the market with all the quality of brand-named designers. They quickly became the internet's favorite blue light glasses. They filter out 90% of high-energy blue light, eliminate 99% of glare coming from screens. Felix Gray does. That's one of the things about Felix Gray that you will notice, by the way. When you put these on and you're looking at your computer screen or your TV screen or your computer or your video game system, whatever, you're going to notice that there was glare on that shit that you didn't even know was there because the Felix Grays are going to eliminate it and you're going to be like, oh shit, I can see my screen better. It is wild, truly magical. Unlike other brands who use blue light, cheap blue light coatings that are ineffective and can chip or scratch, Felix Gray uses a proprietary blue light technology embedded directly into the lens. Like I said, prescription, non-prescription, readers, Felix Gray has you covered with optical glasses for work, and they have sleep glasses for in the evening that are clinically proven to increase melatonin secretion when worn leading up to bedtime. Why would you buy glasses from a company whose sole focus isn't making glasses? I trust Felix Gray because they make the best blue light glasses in the game. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/RBP and get a pair of blue light glasses from the pros. Shipping and returns, totally free. That's felixgrayglasses.com/RBP, felixgrayglasses.com/RBP. Next segment, insane headlines of the day. We're going to need to move through these at a relatively rapid clip. As I was building the segment, I kept finding more.
There is a lot this week.
Here's your first one. Zamboni driver David Iris earns win as emergency goalie for NHL team.
This is one of my favorites.
This is dope. This dude got called in to play goalie, what, midway through the second period? Okay, here's the story. I just have to fucking read it. It's CBS in Boston that covered this local story. It's this dude's in the stands, right, with his wife. Carolina Hurricanes goalie James Reimer goes down with an injury. All of a sudden, his phone's blowing up. He's got to go leave his seat. He's got to get half dressed into his gear on the off chance that something might happen to their second option, Peter Mrazek. So, midway through the second period, our Zamboni driver notices his cell phone blowing up. What he doesn't realize is that Mrazek has been in a scary collision. He's hurt. He collided with Maple Leafs forward Kyle Clifford. He's down on the ice. So next thing this dude knows, he's a 42-year-old Zamboni driver. The Zamboni driver is the guy who comes out after the, second period and smooths out the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can get your ass back out there and skate. This dude is a... It'd be like, there is no equivalent. It'd be like if in baseball, somehow you were allowed to like call in the janitor from the fucking janitorial closet to come pitch relief.
I will say though, a lot of Zamboni drivers are like
former
players, or maybe didn't make, you know, like the pro team, but play on like a different team, but you get to like still work at the rink. And so
that makes
sense. Like, this checks out, but it's still like every middle-aged dad hockey fan dream, right? Yeah.
It's the dream to get called in from the rafters and then be the goal. And it's like, if you're going to do a sport like where you could literally just be thrown into it and maybe have some success, it's probably goalie in hockey, right?
Oh, no.
No?
You have to be willing to get hit in the face by a puck coming at you at like 60 miles per hour.
But in terms of success rate, you know, if you're a relatively robust human... I would pay to see you try to move in goalie equipment. Oh, absolutely no chance in hell. Absolutely.
On skates.
In with my legs and shit. Like, no, those dudes are crouched, sliding back and forth, the craziness. Yeah. No. But I'm saying, if you put me in the net and you pack me with all the pads, like, I might stop a puck. It might kill me, but I might stop a puck. I've got a chance. Call me in from the stands. This dude gets paid, he got paid $500. And he gets to keep his jersey. Nice. Seems like a...
I mean, I would hope he gets to keep his jersey. It's his jersey.
I'm keeping the fucking jersey, yeah. I went in there and I took a bunch of pucks for you. This guy had a kidney transplant 15 years ago and wasn't sure if he would ever play hockey again. He's been a practice goalie with the Leafs and the club's American Hockey League affiliate, the Toronto Marlies, for the last 8 years. So it's not as if it was some random Zamboni driver who's never played hockey before. Right. Like, the dude knew what he was doing. But it's still incredible. I mean, what an experience. Just ridiculous story. Cool story.
Especially because they won. It wasn't like, I got to play a couple periods. That would have been cool.
And I gave up 9 goals.
Yeah,
right. That didn't happen. They legitimately won the game. So, no, it's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Next headline. Daredevil Mad Mike Hughes killed in homemade rocket crash. So beyond the loss of life, which is obviously unfortunate, rest in peace, Daredevil Mad Mike Hughes, this is a wild story. This dude...
he's like a flat earther, right?
Yeah, he's like a flat earth truther on top of like this rocket building stuff. And it's like, okay, so he built a steam-powered rocket that didn't work. He was 64 years old, attempting a, quote, cosmic quest to explore the final frontier on a shoestring budget.
That's your problem.
For the new Science Channel series titled Homemade Astronauts.
No. Science Channel, what are you doing?
No. You see, the astronauts, they go to NASA and to wherever in Florida. They're not homemade. They don't get made at home. I saw October Sky 14 times in high school, thanks to whatever that science teacher's name was I had. Every time he came in hungover, he'd just throw in October Sky. We were like, oh, good. Jake Gyllenhaal building rockets again. This has a lot to do with
science. I also watched that in physics class a lot.
Over and over. Like, the dude literally would come in hungover once a week and be like, no, October Sky. And just go to sleep on his desk. Public school. Westside High School. Shout out to Westside. Shout out to just the Houston Independent School District in general.
They don't pay teachers enough.
No. And they just don't try hard enough in any of the ways. I think it's like the general problem. It's like... They don't seem to be trying very hard to create an actual education system. As a guy who came through it, I was very confused the entire time. But I did see October Sky a lot. So Michael Mad Mike Hughes tragically passed away. I think it was yesterday. He attempted to launch his homemade rocket.
It's supposed to be like a fundraising thing, right? Like, yeah. Not even like, I'm going to space. It's like, see how good my rocket is and give me more money.
And he's gone now. He had a Guinness Book of World Records 103-foot jump in a Lincoln Town Car stretch limo on a California speedway that he did in 2002.
Oh, that's so much cooler than being known as a flat earther. Like, why did you have to go into this? Like,
should have stuck with that.
Known. Yes.
Should have stuck with the car jumping. This is a mistake. Obviously, it was a mistake. He's gone now. But I've always wanted to get a Guinness Book of World Records. Or just look, like, I see those videos on Instagram where race car drivers will, like, take a normal person in the car with them. I want to do, like, one of those, but for, like, you know, the daredevil people. I want to fly 103 feet in a town car, but in the passenger seat, in a goalie outfit, so that I can't be hurt if the car crashes. Next headline. And this one's terrifying. A swarm of nearly 40,000 bees attacked police responding to a single bee sting report.
Why would the police respond to a singular bee sting report?
Who calls the police for a singular bee sting?
White people.
The whites. It's always the whites. I got stung. I've been stung one time in my life. Once. Right on the left nipple. I was running. I was at Camp Ozark and I was running in a Hawaiian shirt. I was like 14 years old and the Hawaiian was unbuttoned because I was pimping. And a bee flew into my, up under there, and I was running, and I just felt it just go, and I was like, ah! And I went to the nurse or whatever, and I had to, like, it was just this whole situation. She's, like, rubbing cream on my nipple. It's like a sexual moment for a child. It was just strange. Anyway, that's the only time in my entire life I have ever been stung by a bee or a wasp at all. One time.
Well, as we said earlier, I've spent time in the outdoors, so I've definitely been stung by way more bees.
Yeah, but not 40,000 of them.
No, not no. That many.
No, this is a group of firefighters and police responding to a bee sting. Again, unclear on how that happens. Attacked Thursday by a swarm of 40,000 Africanized bees. Three of the first responders were rushed to the hospital. Again, why are there first responders to a singular bee sting? It must have been somebody allergic, got bit by one bee, went down.
Right.
Because you know how when like the... Anytime it's like a possible ambulance situation, they'll like send a fire
cop.
Truck
yeah,
or
yeah,
a
yeah.
cop or whatever too. It's like it must have been that. And then they like were like, well, let's take a look, see in here. It looks like there's, oh, maybe one more bee over here. And like took off a panel and we're like, dear God. And the whole fucking house just filled with bees, 40,000 of them.
I like how the beekeeper's just like, yeah, I got rid of them. It's like so casual. It's like all of these first responders are like.
40,000 bees. Aggressive bees. This beekeeper.
Coming in, saving the day.
Safely removes the hive so that the bees could not return back to it, obviously. They don't want 40,000 bees up in a residential area. One of them was stung. Look, this is not that bad considering. Quote, no one got it worse than the first firefighter who arrived. The bees stung him 17 times. Yo, that is not that bad.
Do you know what I watched the other day? That Jackass clip from when they put all the bees inside the limo?
Oh, my God.
And then they put the marbles out underneath the door.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think all those guys got stung way more times.
Oh, way, 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 way more than 17. Also, big shouts to Jackass. Those dudes, a few of which are dead now, that was the funniest shit, man. You can go back and watch those, and they are still ridiculously funny.
Yes, 100%.
The pranks these fools were pulling on each other, the shit they were making each other do. Doesn't one of the movies start... with what's the guy who got addicted to the air spray called? Steve-O. One of the movies starts with like Steve-O putting like a mouse costume on his penis
and putting it like a snake yeah.
to bite it. That's how they start the film.
Ugh, stupid human tricks all the time.
Seriously. And I, for whatever reason, like I can't get enough of that. I'll watch Steve-O put a mouse costume on his penis and get bit by a snake any day of the week.
I think they're making another one.
Oh, no way.
I think so.
That'd be huge. We need one more. One more Jackass movie.
Their bones are so old now.
Did you ever watch CKY?
I did, yes.
I watched a lot of that too.
Yeah.
That
was like too much.
It was a lot. It was like one step away from mainstream before Jackass. And then they figured out like, okay, we need this angle.
Here's how to be palatable.
Yeah, so that people aren't just like disturbed the whole time.
Yes.
But CKY was a lot of fun. Also, Haggard, the movie, is one of the greatest movies ever made. Just to relay all this back into Jackass somehow. Anyway, 40,000 bees.
It's a lot of bees.
40,000 bees. And only 17 stings for that one dude. 40,000 bees, 17 stings. Huge win. Huge. Especially, they were aggressive. They weren't that fucking aggressive. If there was 40,000 of them and they only got dudes 17 times. Happy for everyone that survived. And huge save by this beekeeper. Beekeeper.
Beekeepers are dope.
Beekeeper.
I had a friend who in college who was a beekeeper for like this kind of big honey brand in Georgia.
No way.
Yeah. And he's like the coolest person I've ever met. And I was like, I think you just have to be a cool person to be a,
beekeeper.
Yeah. He used to like study wolves and then he became a beekeeper. And now he like leads a symphony orchestra.
Dude, people do really interesting shit with their lives. You just have to like look around.
Yeah.
Bananas. Like, that guy was like, I'm going to study the wolves.
Yeah, he just like tracked wolves in like a national park for a year.
No, I'm going to do symphonies. Okay. Get that guy on the show. We need a beekeeper. A furry beekeeper.
That has to exist, right? If you're into those suits.
Come on.
Right?
Come on. For sure. One of them. Let me give due and proper credit to this professional beekeeper. Climbed a ladder, which up to this, the roof of a four-story Hampton Inn. Okay. Sprayed the bees with CO2 and foam extinguishers to safely remove them from this area. Huge save, beekeeper. Good on you. Next segment, final segment, oysters, clams, and cockles teaser. So on last week's episode of OCC, otherwise known as Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, it's our television and film podcast here at Bolin Media, my co-host, Mr. Barrett Dudley, and I, we ranked our top five Brad Pitt movies of all time. This is a thing we do. We pick an actor and actress here and there. Not every episode, but a lot of them. And we do their top five. And I wanted to share with you today our conversation ranking those movies, which would it begin. Here's the reason why. The main reason why I want to share it. It begins with a total misread leading to one of the funniest moments in the history of Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. And a larger debate, which is raging on Twitter at the moment and Instagram. Let me preface this by saying, Barrett has been one of my best friends for 17 years. Like,
it's a long ass time.
Not very many people know each other better than me and this dude know each other. Like, I know dude very, very well, and never in a million years saw this coming. Okay, here's your clip. All right, now it's time to do a top five.
Mm.
I really hyped this at the top of the show.
You did.
There's a reason for that. This man recently received his first Academy Award for acting.
You're talking about...
His name is Bradley Pittsburgh.
Ah, yeah.
You may know him as Brad Pitt.
That's how I know him. That's how I have him saved in my... That's how I have his number saved in my phone anyway.
Yeah. You guys have the same hairstylist.
Right. That's all right. Yeah. I try.
Brad Pitt did recently won Best Supporting Actor for his role in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino's film that we covered on Movie Club on patreon.com/oystersclamscockles a few months back. Had a great time, thoroughly enjoyed it. Brad Pitt's top five movies are what we're going to do today. We've been doing top five characters here and there sporadically, top five actors and actresses rather. And we have arrived at Mr. Pitt. Now, what I found when I was digging through several dozen lists of Brad Pitt's best movies, best Brad Pitt movies, Brad Pitt's best dramas, Brad Pitt's best comedies, blah, 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 blah. What I found, Barrett, is that of everyone we've done so far, this is far and away the most difficult for me and what I believe to be perhaps the most impressive resume well beyond what I imagined in my head.
Yeah, it's deep. He goes way back, and... You know, I think that I don't exactly know when this was, but there was a narrative, maybe it was the early 2000s, early to mid 2000s, where there was kind of like a narrative of is Brad Pitt really a good actor type thing?
Yeah. It sort of came into play, or is he just really hot?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's certainly not what you gather when you look at this guy's IMDb page. You know
well,
what I mean?
He's absolutely shattered that reputation. He's fucking dumped all over it.
Certainly, yeah, right. And it's deep. It's great. I think that we talked a little bit about it when we talked about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but...
Here's what... Let me say this, though. Great, but it's we'll start going through this list of his movies, and then we'll gather our top five from it.
Mm-hmm.
What I find when I start to go through it is it's not that there's like this insane amount of my favorite movies ever. It's that there's an insane amount of very high quality movies or good movies. Like there's just a lot of movies I would rewatch, have rewatched many, many times, like in every different category you could imagine, really, too.
Yeah, and you know, this will be par for the course for me, but there are a lot of like ones that I know are really, really famous that you've probably seen that I haven't seen, or if I have, it was many, many years ago.
Yeah, and
I don't really like I can't, just to throw one out there, I can't really comment on Interview with the Vampire, but I know it's like supposed to be great. It's super famous.
It's a good movie. I mean, it's not one of my, it doesn't make my top five.
Didn't see Legends of the Fall.
Really good movie,
but
it's like, okay, you have to watch that one at some point.
So anyways, I just feel like my personal relationship with Brad Pitt is more with his like, his more modern.
His newer stuff.
Yeah.
If you watch Legends of the Fall, make sure you catch it on TBS when you have like the flu or horrific food poisoning or something that causes you to not be able to leave the house because it'll take up the whole 8 hours. It's like a 16-hour movie, and with commercials, it's 4.5 days long.
Gotcha. That's great.
It'll get you through everything, Barry.
Good to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the other kind of interesting thing is what I was about to say just in regards to our discussion around Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is how he, another like piece of his acting career, part of the narrative now is like Brad Pitt is a good leading man, but he is also an awesome character actor when he wants to be.
Yeah, if you give him something that fits into his repertoire, sort of.
He's carried some shit, but some of like just the best, most awesome pieces of acting work from him are when he's in like these smaller roles.
I'll give you my favorite one ever.
And just has like something more obscure to chew on.
I'll give you my favorite one ever. Arguably the best one of his that he's ever done for me is Snatch. He's the parkie, boxer.
Yeah.
He's not a main character.
Yep.
But he is a main character. Who's a main character in that movie?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't understand a goddamn word he says. It's an incredibly random, eccentric, weird character to do that has like athleticism tied in. And he fucking kills it.
Yeah.
It's one of the best parts of the movie.
He's great in an ensemble as well.
Yes.
So.
He's seemingly does not have any problem with not being the top billed guy.
Correct.
Sort of throughout his career, if you look back. So let's talk about some of the older ones. Like, okay, one of the first times Brad Pitt was on a big, big screen was True Romance, right? He just plays that stoner that's sort of like a classic American character now.
Floyd.
Yeah. And then he was in like a few things here and there back in the 90s that were hard. Like, was Seven in the 90s? Was that in the 90s?
Oh, yeah. 95.
So that was an example of one where you saw sort of the chops had started to develop.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like kill that role. I'll say this.
So the movie, I know this just from like reading about him. The movie that like put him on the map, like as a name,
okay,
was Thelma and Louise. It's a very small part,
right?
And then,
but
like,
everybody was like, "Holy shit!" Who's
and then
that guy?
It's weird the memories that you kind of carry out of your childhood, but. My dad, who was like, and when I was growing up, we did a lot of this as well, but like we tied our own ties. We went fly fishing in Colorado. We went on like these outdoor trips like this.
Barrett's an Eagle Scout.
So 92's A River Runs Through It was also another big one. And I remember that one was like, who is this man? He is the most beautiful person living currently. Like,
yeah, it was acknowledged at that point.
What is this guy going to do?
Yeah.
Now, he was...
That was... You're exactly right. That was sort of...
And that was
my
92.
My first experience with Brad Pitt was like, okay, this dude's clearly the shit. Well, now what?
Yeah, and so then he did Interview with the Vampire, Legends of the Fall, and Seven, all in 94, 95.
So he had a nice little role there already, like, because I'll watch any of them shits again right there.
Yeah.
Meet Joe Black is sort of a random one.
Seven years. I mean, yeah. How about this 90s? Like Interview with the Vampire, Legends of the Fall, Seven, 12 Monkeys, Sleepers, 7 years in Tibet.
I love Sleepers.
Meet Joe Black, right into Fight Club and Snatch. I mean,
and that's when it starts to get really, really gnarly is when you get into the later stuff. You, dude, he started to really figure out how to pick them, and he also got into the production and directing side of things.
That's right. Yep.
Which really helps. Clearly helped with his understanding, because my God. So, like, I'll say the last one that was a big, big movie that Brad Pitt was the leading man that I walked away and I was like, they should have fucking... The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Where does that even sit in anybody's movie lexicon? What the hell was that? If you go back and even read the synopsis, it's legitimately insane that they attempted to pull this movie off. He ages in reverse.
You want me to just drop a bombshell on you right now?
I don't care if you've never seen it.
It's my number one.
How? Benjamin Button is your number one Brad Pitt movie ever. Okay. Well, I need your case. I have a curious case of how that's your number one.
Okay. First of all, you should know that he was nominated for Best Actor in that movie.
Was he really?
Yeah. And I think the movie was nominated for Best Picture as well.
Okay.
You're
number one?
It is, for me.
Uno.
Yeah. I love.
The Loneliest Number.
Yeah. It's probably not my number one movie of all time.
No, I know.
But
in our
Brad Pitt top five here.
Brad Pitt top five, yeah.
Incredibly well acted. And for me, I think it was the first time that I was like, oh shit, like Brad Pitt really can be like a quote unquote actor.
More than just eye candy.
Yeah. You know?
Second, I can see that.
As far as like, I love the message of the movie. There's a quote from this book in the movie about basically never being scared to, like, no matter how old you are, to look at your life, say to yourself, this is not what I want or what I want to be doing, and have like the courage to change it.
Right.
So as far as like kind of corny inspo,
sure.
Put it on my Pinterest board type shit. I love what this movie has to say.
Okay.
Second or third. It's just like, it's for me on my overall list of movies, I think it's criminally underrated.
I can't believe I shit all over it.
So I think I give it extra love because I think people do have, like, you know,
now
a lot of people don't think it's a great movie.
And to be fair, it wouldn't have shocked me if it was in your top five Brad Pitt movies, but
okay.
It does shock me that it's your number one, just considering the company. Also to be fair, I haven't watched The Curious Case of Benjamin Button since college, probably. I was a completely different human being. I might love it now.
Yeah.
Also, to be fair, guy who complains about movies being long, that movie is long as hell.
It is. It is.
Is that a David Fincher?
Is it David Fincher?
Pretty sure it is.
The Curious Case of Benjamin.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
David.
I had that. That's, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. How about, I'm just confirming that before we watch. Yep, directed by David Fincher, screenplay by Eric Roth. Eric Roth. What was the deal? How's it work?
He ages backwards.
So he's born old as hell.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the movie, he's a baby.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's weird, but as far as like kind of out there concepts go.
Okay.
It's really, really fascinating. Like, the love of his life, like, their relationship ends because
he's a baby.
Because they're moving in opposite directions. So
it's like Keith.
Even though they both like fall in love when they're 30 years old or whatever, they then have to deal with this, with the fact of what's happening is that he is like aging to become a young boy. And she is becoming an older woman. So it's just like...
That's a different problem.
I don't know. It's really... You should definitely watch it.
I'll watch it
because it's...
All right, I will. All right. Since it's your number one, I respect it. Now I feel like I fucking have to, especially after I just literally pooped on it.
Again, I'll add, I think I probably give it extra love because I know that there's a lot of... It's not universally loved.
Right. No, clearly not.
Yeah.
Clearly. Okay, let me throw out some other really good ones and see if any of them made your top five.
Okay.
And they're ones that didn't make mine, but they're really good.
Okay.
Moneyball. Really good Brad Pitt movie. Fantastic baseball movie. Jonah Hill's awesome in it, too. This was one of the ones where I was like, yo, this guy can carry for sure. He's badass. He can do a character. He can kill it. Billy Bean. What, Billy Bean? Is that
Billy Bean, yeah. And that's his other acting nominee
that he got nommed for
at the Academy Awards. It's not in my top five, but it's definitely honorable mention. It's a great film.
I recently watched Ad Astra. Have you watched it?
I have not.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Also get why it got a lot of heat.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to like smoke weed and watch a Brad Pitt movie for 3 hours, this is not a bad way to spend your time at all. I thought it was cool. The message in particular of it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cheesy, corny, silly a little. Yeah, sure. But I love outer space shit, man. Put Brad Pitt in outer space, there.
How did it compare? Because the trailers always gave me like big Interstellar vibes. How did it compare?
I mean, it borrows from some of like the similar, it plays with some stuff like that, but it's not, I wouldn't even, nah.
Okay.
Other than that they're both in outer space.
Gotcha.
Nah. It reminded me more of that Clooney movie. Wasn't there one where he was in outer space? Everybody's been in outer space recently. Solaris, was that it?
Or Gravity?
Gravity.
That's Sandra Bullock, but he has a small role in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Small, but important.
Mm-hmm.
No spoilers. Anyway, that was really good. I liked that, Astrid. And the music in particular, I just thought it was a good movie, man. I really liked it, but it's not my top five. Burn After Reading, really fun movie. I love everything those dudes make.
Yep.
Brad Pitt's character's fucking hysterical.
Yep.
The overly intense, like, howdy-doody workout trainer. Love it.
I don't know if it was the first time that he ever took a role like this, but that one stands out to me as the first time that it's like, oh, Brad Pitt, that was like, not only is he one of the best looking dudes in the world, now he's totally willing to kind of like make fun of his public persona
and play a dumbass.
Yeah. And just kind of like do these kind of quirkier roles.
Yeah. You want to know one that's great for him that I have to go back and watch that I've mentioned before that I need to go back and see again is The Big Short. Doesn't make my top five, and it's one that I must have seen it at a weird time or something.
So The Big Short is,
because it didn't stick with me well enough. It's not that I didn't enjoy the movie. It's that I don't really remember it, frankly.
Yeah, The Big Short is one of my all-time favorite movies, certainly of the last 10 years, certainly of the 2010s.
So I'm assuming it cracks your Brad Pitt top five.
It does not, because this is one of those ones where Brad Pitt plays that's an ensemble movie.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of main guys. It's
sure.
Mostly Steve Carell and Christian Bale.
He's not one of the main guys.
And then like B characters like Ryan Gosling, and then he's like a C character even.
And it's like it doesn't count, sort of.
So it almost doesn't count.
Again, I'm with that.
It's another one where like the guy that he's like, it's kind of an unexpected thing. He pops up and he's playing like this, I think he's like an older professor that.
Yeah, it's really random.
That really knows the stock game.
Yeah, he's going to help him.
Stonks.
Stonks.
Go Stonks. And he's awesome in it. Like he's perfect. But it's not, but it can't be in my top five because he's on screen for 15 minutes, basically.
Have you seen The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford?
Never seen it.
I have. Many people consider this to be one of Brad Pitt's best films. Not a fan.
Okay.
Slowest goddamn Western. I love Westerns, man. I just didn't really like this movie. I don't know why. Not in my top five.
Okay.
Needless to say. Allied. Which I think he directed as well. Did you see that one?
No. I wanted to see that, and then it just, that's one that slipped by.
Oh, wait, no. I don't.
Through the cracks.
It's not one he directed, but I did see it, and I really enjoyed it. Not in my top five, but it's one that certainly fits into my good-ass Brad Pitt movies from the past 10 years that I would for sure watch again if it was on TV, and I enjoyed thoroughly when I watched it.
I mean, Marion Cotillard and Brad Pitt in any movie.
Yes,
and I'll watch that. I want to watch them together.
Yep.
I need to see this one.
Allied was cool as shit. Loved it. Fury, on a similar note. Very cool movie. I think that is the one he directed, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I'm just going to say he directed every one of them from here on out. Fury was really good. Not in my top five. Badass war movie. Different story I hadn't heard before. Cool angle. Very well executed. Awesome movie. So again, like you start to see this like this list of really solid films he's built over this past several years in particular. And then we can get into the ones that did hit my top five. I'll give you my number one first. After much debate, my number one Brad Pitt movie is Inglourious Basterds. And it's like almost like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood can't be in front of that for me. Because Inglourious Basterds sort of set the table for the Quentin Tarantino-Brad Pitt relationship for that to even develop into Once Upon a Time. And I love how ridiculous his character is in the movie.
Yeah, I have Inglourious Basterds as three.
Okay.
and it's possible that it's recency bias.
Mm.
You know,
fair enough. I just, in all, it's a. I really love the movie.
I
love playing with World War II. I love what Tarantino does with everything. But in particular, Brad Pitt's character is so fun and ridiculous and wild and going around carving swastikas into Nazis' heads. And it's just, it's just next level.
Yeah.
So that's my number one. My number two is Snatch. Even with him being a character that's not on screen the whole movie, it's such a badass role. And it really changed, like, it was one of those movies that got me to be more into movies. When I saw Snatch, I was like, shit, dude, this is crazy. Like, it was like an adrenaline rush, because that's what his movie, what's his name? The dude that makes these movies? Where every single one of them is...
Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie movies. It's just like the whole time you're on the edge of your seat, and it's just nonstop.
That's a good point. Snatch came out in 2000, so we were around 14 years old, and 13, 14.
Yes, yeah, super impressionable time period.
Impressionable time period, and I think, if I remember it correctly, it's like one of the first R-rated movies that my parents... not only let me go see, but I think I went with them.
Yeah, like they were okay with it.
They were okay with, yeah.
Well, because all the R-ratedness was because of the cussing, and most of it you couldn't understand because of the accents anyway. Yeah. So you were good.
And so it definitely is one of those, as far as movies in your formative years go, it's one of those that's like, oh man, movies can be
crazy.
Totally something that I knew nothing about and didn't know to expect.
Out of nowhere, completely random, crazy ass characters coming in out of nowhere,
right.
Wild lines. Yeah, yeah. It was just the first movie like that I'd ever seen. Snatch is one of my favorite movies, and as a result, it bumps it up my list all the way to number freaking two. Fight Club is number three. I could have put it at one. I could have put it at two. Fight Club is just such a good movie, and it's, again, it's so original and crazy. Obviously, it's based on a book, and I think that's why I end up bumping it down some. But his character in it is awesome. It's one of the defining roles of his career, if not the most defining role of his career up to that point, right? Fight Club changed the whole Brad Pitt. Like, it was like more bad boy,
mm-hmm.
less pretty boy, more bad boy. And it's just one of the most fun movies ever made. Just ridiculous. And I love both those actors, too. Does Fight Club land anywhere on your list?
It does not.
Mm.
Sad. So, two things. I've only ever seen Fight Club via cable TV.
With commercials?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've never sat down, started Fight Club, and watched all the way through.
That's wild.
It's probably in the... It probably makes like the top 10 movies that I need of like... that are on that list. Mm. Like, I need to sit down and watch this movie all the way through.
Yeah.
To have it in my... I'm a guy that talks about film now.
Yeah, yeah.
Repertoire
for sure,
you know, Fight vernacular.
It's awesome. You need to watch that shit.
I also really don't like Edward Norton.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, I really like Edward.
Just
Norton.
Just not like I know he's like a perfectly nice dude, good actor, but he does absolutely nothing for me as far as like magnetism on screen.
Mm. Yeah. You know what? It's not necessarily that I disagree with that, but. He has Brad Pitt in this movie, so
yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
But also, I'll say American History X is a pretty incredible movie. But other than that, I don't have a whole lot of Ed Norton movies up in my...
You know, it's possible also, you know how you just, sometimes you cannot separate an actor from a movie?
Yeah.
His character in Rounders, it's like, I just can't do it.
Wow. That might have been it.
You know?
Wow.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I just can't let go of his Rounders character.
He was so good that he ruined himself for you. Crushed the role so hard. My number four is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
I got it in there. I want to see it again, too, because I think it might end up higher. It's one of those ones where, like, we had so much going on this past 6 months. I loved the movie. I don't know where it's going to sit for me yet, rankings-wise,
sure.
In terms of longevity. And then Barrett, my number five to close it out, and this was a very difficult decision, leaving out Ocean's 11, 12, 13, that was tough. Not the Tree of Life, not even discussing it, not even mentioning it. My number five, though, is undoubtedly Troy.
Okay.
And Troy could have been my number one. And I'm not joking.
Yeah, so... Just given the first few seconds of the lead up there, that was my guess for your number five.
Yeah.
It's on my list. like it's bolded and I have honorable mention next to it.
Okay.
Because I almost put it in there.
All right, give me your top five.
So my top.
So it's mine to repeat real quick. Inglourious Bastards, Snatch, Fight Club, Once Upon a Time, Troy.
Yeah. So ours are pretty similar. I have from one to five, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at number two, Inglourious Bastards at three. And again, like I said, like that could easily be recency bias. If I go watch them back to back, maybe I feel differently.
Sure.
But I just loved what he did with the film.
Yeah.
And he's so, it's just, he was just amazing. Like, we, you know, you watch the Academy Awards, they gave that little a clip somewhere, probably during the nominations, where one of the killers walks in and he's like, oh, I remember you. You were talking about something. And like the Austin Butler, that's the actor. He's like, yeah, I said the Dark Knight is coming. And he's like, no, it's dumber than that. It's just like, he's so funny in it too. Anyway, that was my number two. Inglourious Basterds at three.
The Satanist.
Snatch at four for me. The Pikey is just an all-timer.
Yes.
Like, I mean.
Periwinkle Blue.
Yeah. You like Dags?
It's from me, Ma.
And then I have the Oceans franchise at five because.
This bumped Troy, man.
It bumped Troy.
That's fair for you.
They do similar things for me in like the pantheon, like Brad Pitt as like an icon.
Yeah.
At this point, his like coolness outweighs how attractive he is for me now.
Oh, for sure.
And those two movies are like the two pillars of those two characteristics.
Troy
is like, he's sex on a plate.
Sure. They covered him in oil for the whole movie.
Yeah. Oceans is like, is there anybody cooler than this dude walking into a room snacking on chips?
At all times.
Like who is cooler than Brad Pitt casually walking into a room, cool as a fucking cucumber, just like popping chips into his mouth or whatever. You know what I mean?
Like
that side of him means more to me at this stage of his career than the, you know,
the hotness.
This dude is almost too good looking. That would be the main
deterrent
for me pursuing a relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Look, I get it. I get that Ocean's 11 and Troy, I get that was going to be a battle for you. And it makes sense that Ocean's franchise won out. And for me, it makes sense that Troy won out because, I've watched Ocean's, I like the movies. It's something about them though, where they were never my favorite. Like I never loved them. I really enjoy them. I've seen them all multiple times. I watch them when they're on TV and shit, usually around the holidays. But for whatever reason, they just never were my favorite. I think because the first one was so good, and then it kind of bummed me out that it became this like 9-movie franchise or whatever. I don't know. But Troy, on the other hand, I've watched intentionally on Blu-ray or streaming, you know, 30 times.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just such a good movie, but without him, it's dog shit. And what you realize, you know what? I'm going to fucking cancel that take. The last time I watched Troy, I was like, what the hell? I do not remember this many good actors being in this movie.
Yeah, it's
like Brian Cox is Agamemnon.
Eric Bana, right?
There's great actors all over the place.
Yeah.
Never mind. Cancel the trash take about Troy being awful without Brad Pitt. But in terms of what he brings to the movie, he's by far and away the MVP of the film. The opening scene with him, where they're like, listen, you bring out your best guy and I'll bring out my best guy and we'll save all these men's lives. Mm-hmm. And he's like, ha ha, Fabobliblis. He yells out the dude's name. I don't know what it was. And the dude comes out and it's like a 9-foot tall, roided up HGH monster.
Yeah, he's a giant.
With no hair. A giant. And then Agamemnon's like, or whatever, one of the guys. He's like, Achilles! And Achilles isn't there because he's super naked with two babes. Mm-hmm, and some kid has to run and go get him and then bring him out. And then he's all like bitchy to his boss, like, fuck you, dude. I was sleeping. Bring me out here to fight people and shit. And then he runs in, like casually actually, starts to sprint towards the dude. Like it's like from fucking, what was the, not Us. What's the one where people sprint at each other for no reason?
And get out.
Yeah. Like that. But like really casual. Nobody's ever looked better sprinting than that dude in that scene.
No, they have not.
And then he just does this.
The jump stab.
Yeah, which no one's ever executed. The jump and stab. In an actual battle, you'd be swatted aside like a fly. But it was, it's just from the get-go, he sets the tone. Troy, it should have been my number one, the way I'm talking about it. Benjamin Button? What? It's literally unfucking believable. I am still shook. Still shook. You've seen Benjamin Button, of course, right?
I don't think I've seen the whole thing.
Oh, it's like 17 hours long. Nobody's seen the whole thing.
I think I napped in the middle.
Yeah.
Woke up, saw
the
rest.
So you napped during the ages of like 72 to 50.
Probably.
Yeah, as he reversed age back to a baby. Because that was the movie. Literally. Brad Pitt played the baby.
Someone said the other day, I think it was on like that Katya and Trixie drag queen show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were like, I want to reverse Benjamin Button. And they were like, isn't that just aging?
Normal life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just aging normally.
Just aging
and
normally.
The forward progression, yeah. No, something about Brad Pitt's like face turned old and then put on a little person and then a baby. I'm not in on Benjamin Button, bro. It was not even in my top five. It was man's number one. I got to record this dude this week. I got to look him in the eye and like know that this happened.
I mean, it's his number one Brad Pitt movie, though.
To be clear. But
right.
That's still an insane choice. Like, Brad Pitt has legit movies and he picked Benjamin Button. The movie where he reverse ages back into a baby. You see. That's crazy as shit to me. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the clip from OCC. Listen to Oysters, Clams, and Cockles or watch it on youtube.com/BolinMedia or listen wherever RBP is available. That will do it for today's show. But before you head out to take on the world, it's time for some very important announcements. First and foremost, if you want more RBP every month, advertisement free, you can support the show on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. And in exchange, you'll get more premium RBP only for supporters on Patreon. Thank you to everyone on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast for making this show possible, for supporting us, for keeping Bolin Media moving in the right direction. It means an incredible amount. And I hope y'all enjoyed not just yesterday's column, but continue to enjoy the stuff I write on there as well to bring some more content to the table on Patreon. Because I realize like two episodes a week in addition to what y'all get with RBP is nice, or two additional episodes a month, rather, I'm sorry. But I want to get a lot more columns going. And then, as I've spoken to in the past, a lot of you listeners are talented and have reached out to me asking to be able to write either for the show or columns and articles for Patreon. And no, we're for sure still doing that. So if you have interest, holler, ross@rossbolinpodcast.com. If you're one of the people who has hit me up in the past 6 months as I've dick-teased the shit out of y'all about this, holler again. Come back through, because I might not find your email. It is quite a pile. So I'm going to be going through, and getting just burp into the mic to end the fucking show. Good. I'm going to be going through and getting members of the RBP gang writing for the Patreon. So it won't just be my voice. You'll be hearing from other people as well. And I'm stoked about that. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. You have three legal obligations you've been saddled with as a result of having listened to this entire show. Number one, you must rate and review on Apple Podcasts. You can listen on Spotify or SoundCloud, watch on YouTube, I don't care. 5 stars, 2 or 3 sentences on Apple Podcasts about why you like the show. Get it done. That's the biggest platform still. It's the one where your ratings and your reviews do the most damage. Help us out and get your 5 stars and your 2 or 3 sentences about why you love RBP and why you think other people would love it, which brings us to our second legal ob. For you to tell one person, whether it's a friend, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, any one individual that you think this person might enjoy the Ross Bolin Podcast, share it with them. One person this week, one person next week, one person every week until the week you die. Number three, we have a new legal obligation. You have to use our sponsor codes. It's pretty simple, right? This week, lisa.com/RBP, Lisa, and then Felix Gray. FelixGrayGlasses.com/RBP. Those are our two. Lisa, Felix Gray, support them. Use the codes. Fulfill your third and final legal obligation. And we all win. Follow us on Instagram, @TheRossBolinPodcast. We do announcements when new episodes drop. We put up funny videos and shit. We got great interns that make us cool clips. Follow us on Twitter, @RossBolinPod. You can find us on Facebook if you're the middle-aged aunt of one of our listeners. You can follow me, Ross Bolin, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat @WRBOLEN. @WRBolin. Mariah, where can we follow you on social media and hear more of your voice?
Yeah, you can follow me. It's at Mariah Gossett on all social media platforms. It's Mariah with a Y and Gossett with two S's and two T's.
Tight.
Make it complicated for you.
Appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
What a blast. Check out Bolin Media's television and film podcast, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. Check out Freeze All Motor Functions in preparation of Westworld Season 3. That will do it for RBP 270, recorded and produced by Mike Moody and Grant Davis at Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas. We'll be back on Thursday for episode 271, RBP 271, coming Thursday. Podman gets paid. Respect, Mr. Park. Strength and honor. Gang, gang, gang. You are not alone. Peace be with you and also with you.
Go low, baby.